Well, hello everyone. Today is a very interesting day for me because my name is not Andy Stanley. And Andy's not here. He was supposed to be speaking this morning and he's not here and he doesn't have an accent. My name is Justin and Andy called me on Friday morning and let me know that due to the really tough week that he and his family had because of the passing away of his mom, Sandra, his wife, looked at him on Thursday night and said, I don't think you should speak this Sunday. And so Andy heard her and he agreed, which by the way, I just love the fact that we have a leader who honors his wife and honors his family the way that Andy does. It just sets such a great precedent for everyone around him. I love that. But that did leave the next question begging, where he said, Justin, would you speak on Sunday, 2 days from now? Now, when Andy Stanley asks you to speak 2 days from now, several emotions just slam into your head at once, the first of which is shock. You have reached Justin's phone. I'm not available. I didn't do that. But as soon as the shock kind of wears off, which took a while, then there's this split second of real honor, and I feel privileged that I get this opportunity to share something that is really close to my own heart with you this morning. So, but that only lasted about 2 seconds. But real honor, I really do feel privileged to be able to speak to you here at North Point, at Buckhead Church, Browns Bridge, at Watermark, Gwinnett, and Decatur City. It's such a privilege for me to be able to do that this morning. So that only lasted a few seconds though, because then horror steps in of I've got to prepare a message that touches people and that makes sense and that is helpful to people in 2 days. And then as you go through that, regret keeps to come up in bouts because I said yes. And then you go back and you go, why on earth did I say yes to this? I could be watching football. It would be so much easier than sitting in front of my computer right now. But as all of that settled, I did tell Andy, can I have an hour or two to see whether this is something that God wants me to do and that I can even attempt to do. And so I went and sat down with my computer. And it was amazing how just immediately something just shot up in my heart that I'm dealing with right now, that is very close to my heart, that is pretty raw and emotional for me and my family right now. And as I was thinking about that, I realized that this is not just something that I'm facing, but this is something that every single person faces at some point in their life, what we're going through right now. Something that everyone faces, whether you're a Christian and you've been following Jesus for 25 years and you love him and you just obey what he, I mean, you follow him. Or whether you're a person who's here for the first time and church is not your thing and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, this idea, this concept that we want to look at this morning, this concept that we're going through is something that you're going to face. And I realized that it is so incredibly important for us to navigate this concept, this idea so well when it comes up. Because there is so much at stake if we don't in our lives. So I thought, okay, maybe I do need to share this. Maybe I will do this. So I went to my wife and I said, hun, are you okay if the next 2 days look completely different? Because Andy's asked me to speak and she said, yes, let's do that. So I called him and I said, yes, let's do it. And so I've spent the last couple of days really wrestling with this thing. And I do want to warn you that what I want to speak about is raw, so there's not going to be a nice little bow at the end that says, look how pretty this is. There's not going to be a nice closing song at the end that makes it all look great, because I'm walking through this right now. And we're not just walking through it, we're feeling this right now. But I do feel, like I said, this is going to be hopefully what my goal is, just to throw out some thoughts about this idea, and hopefully there's some things that you can grab onto and that it'll help you when you face something similar to walk through that well, navigate it well, and come out on the other side glad with how you did that. So let me tell you what it is that we're going through. To kind of go back a few years to set the stage for what it is, about 6 years ago, my wife and I, our two sons, moved over from South Africa to the States. And immediately I joined staff here at North Point. So this is a wonderful privilege to be able to speak here. And then about a year and a half after that, I moved to Buckhead Church and worked there since then. So hi, Buckhead Church, good to see you. But these past 6 years, my wife has said this, that it has been one of the best seasons of our life. I mean, it's almost been like an incubator of life, an incubator of wholeness. yes, there's been bumps and bruises along the way, but these last 6 years have been an amazing experience with a community of people that we've been living with, doing life with walking with the staff of North Point. It's been an amazing experience. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But then a few months ago, I was asked if I would consider stepping down from my role at Buckhead and taking on the lead pastor role of one of our strategic partner churches, the one in Tampa, Florida. It's called Citrus Point Church. Now, Citrus Point is at the place where they're busy building the core group of people who are going to be able to move forward and give the gift that North Point has given to the city of Atlanta, North Point Ministries and all the other churches has given to the city of Atlanta, to the city of Tampa. And so we looked at that and we thought, wow, what an incredible opportunity. But it's right now in the stage of raising money and building a core to be able to do that. So I thought I'd do this, and Andy said I should as well. If you know anyone in Tampa, we're looking for people to help us do that. Go to citruspoint.org. That's citruspoint.org. And send your friends there. If they're in Tampa and they want to be involved in doing this and giving this gift, a place where people can come to church that don't really like church and discover a God who likes them and who's for them and who loves them, and you know people like that, send them to that website. We'd love to have them. Anyway, so I was asked to do that. So my wife and I started praying and fasting and asking people and searching scripture and going, God, is this what you want us to do? Because we're the kind of people that we really feel like God really wants our best. And when he asks us to do something, it's the best thing we could ever do. And so we really do our best to try and obey him and follow him. And then as we're praying, we finally landed on this idea that, yes, God wants us to do this. God wants us to take this step. So right now, you're looking at us in the midst of massive change, in the midst of a huge transition. But as we're thinking about it, we realize that we're also in the midst of something else, and this is so exciting. We're in the midst of the promise of what could be, and that is so exciting. Because as we've studied Tampa, we've realized that there's more than 900,000 people in that city that don't go to church. More than 900,000 people who are disconnected from God and his grace and his ways. And we look at that and go, wow, if we could take this, if we could take this gift that this church and these churches have given to our communities and take it to Tampa, wow, the promise of what could be is incredible. We're so excited about that. But not only that, the promise of following God and going on this adventure with him, it's almost like going, okay, God is calling us to something beautiful, to something amazing. It's almost like diving off a cliff and he comes along and his faithfulness intersects with our faith and the life change that happens in our heart. It's beautiful. We're loving that. So being in the middle of the promise of what could be is so exciting and so wonderful. But, and this is where it gets real, and this is where it gets tough, and this is where it gets hard. As wonderful as this is, as we've taken our first steps forward, we've realized we're not only in the middle of the promise of what could be, we've realized that we're also in the middle of the pain of losing what is. And that's hard because we love this. This is so good. It's been the best season of our lives. And walking away from that, that's a little raw, that's a little painful. Not only that, through these last 6 years, we've also made some of the best friends. Friends that have become like family, a community of people who are so authentic, who love us and who we love, whose kids and our kids are best friends. And walking away from that is painful. Walking away from those friends, waving goodbye, that's painful. Walking away from the school that our sons are at, which is not just a school, this school is incredible. It invests in the hearts and the future of our kids. Walking away from that is really hard. It's painful. Walking away from our beautiful little home in our wonderful little neighborhood is painful. And what we're discovering is this, that walking into the promise of what could be means leaving the comfort of what is. And what we've discovered is, as wonderful as the promise of what could be is, it is very, very painful to say goodbye to the things that have really helped us be who we are. And that's tough. And so these words have kind of been crashing around my mind that I've kind of labeled this time and this process and this thing that I would like to look at a little bit this morning. And that's this, The pain of obedience. The pain of obedience. You see, sometimes God is going to tap you on the shoulder and look you in the eyes and ask you to do something that's painful. That might be very painful. And sometimes he's going to ask us to go against something that we desire. And I'm not talking about a bad thing. Yes, sometimes he's going to ask us to move away from a bad thing. But sometimes he's going to ask you to walk away from a good thing. And that's painful. Sometimes he's going to look at you and go, I know you desire that. And I know you have this yearning for comfort. We all do. Every one of us, we have a yearning for comfort. But what he asks us to do is go against that. Sometimes he's going to look at us and go to, and ask us to go against this yearning for control, this yearning for the need to stay the same, which, by the way, is not even true. Nothing ever stays the same. The only thing that stays the same is that nothing stays the same. Everything's going to change. And yet there's something in us that drives us to hold on to what it is that our life looks like right now. We want to hold on to how it is right now. And God's going to look at us and go, I know you want that, but I want you to obey me in this. And he's going to reach in and grab that thing in us that wants it to stay the same and go click. And that is painful because we want to control things, which, by the way, is also another thing that is a myth. We can't control life. We think we can. We work so hard to try and do that. But we know the minute cancer comes up, the minute relationships break, the minute something happens, life throws something at you. You know you can't control life. And yet we try. And then God reaches in and goes, I want you to obey me in this. Click. Oh, and it's painful. It's painful, but because God loves you and because he wants you to grow and because he wants you to experience life the way that he imagines and because he wants you to know the promise of what could be, every now and then he reaches into your life and he points at something and he touches on your marriage and he touches on your finances and he touches on your relationships. And he touches on the dream that you thought you had for the future. And he touches on your security. And he touches on your dating life. And he touches on this moral side of who you are and how you think you do things. And he touches on your ambition. And he touches on the dreams that you think need to happen. And he goes, I want you to follow me. I want you to obey me. And because he loves you so much, he knows that if you follow him in that, the promise that comes from that is incredible. But that's likely going to be painful. It's kind of like God sits across the table from you and looks you in the eyes and he says, listen, listen to me. And he leans in and he goes, I know you don't want to do this, but please listen to me. If you do, you don't even understand the promise of life, the promise of depth, the promise of hope that will come when you follow me, when you obey me. You don't even understand what is at stake in your life for you, for your family, for your friends, for random people who you've never met yet and the way that you're going to influence and change their lives because you obeyed me here. You don't even understand what is at stake for you and what hangs in the balance. It is amazing. And if you would just trust me, you would do it, but, and then he leans in, and this is the worst part. He leans in and he says, it's going to be painful. But I want you to do it anyway. And at some point, God's gonna tap you on the shoulder, and that's the experience that you're gonna have. Because he loves you. Because of what he dreams for you in your marriage, in your finances, in your relationships. In your future, he's going to lean in and ask you to do something hard. And that's when we find ourselves right in the middle of the pain and the promise of obedience. And that's not a fun place to be. Because you look at the promise and you go, wow, I want that. And you look at the path to get there and it's so painful and you go, I don't want that. But I want that. And once you've seen that, it kind of ruins you because you can't forget that you want that. But the pain that it takes to get there is painful. And so this is not a fun place to be, but this is one of the most important places you could find yourself, in the middle of the pain and the promise of obedience. And a question comes up that every one of us will have to ask in that moment when God looks at you and reaches into your heart and says, will you obey me in this? And the question is this: will I walk through the pain of obedience to experience the promise of obedience? It's a question you're going to have to ask yourself. Even if you're not a Christian, at some point God's tapping you on the shoulder and going, hey, will you follow me? Will you walk through the pain of obedience to experience the promise that comes with that obedience? That's the question every one of us has to ask. And here's the amazing thing. Because God loves you, even if you say no, he will still love you. Even if you say, no, absolutely not, I'm not going to walk through that, he will still love you. His grace will still be there. Jesus died to make that available. That's dependent on him. He loves you. His grace is there. His mercy. He will be there for you. But because he loves you, he will not stop asking. He will not stop nudging, going, hey, you're missing out. When you say no, his grace will be there, but you may miss out on the promise of what he wants for you. And then he will keep tapping you on the shoulder going, come on, Justin, will you follow me? Will you obey me? Now, some of you are sitting here and you know exactly what I mean, right? Because you've been through this. God tapped you on the shoulder and said, I want you to change that. You know, the marriage that you are trying to get out of, I want you to fight for it. And that's so painful and you don't want to do that. But he goes, there's a promise ahead. And if you stick it out and you fight it through, for the next year you fight it through and you go, year? Really? Not 3 days? No, for the next year you fight it through and you said, no, I will not do that. I don't want to go that way. And yet you decided to walk and you saw the promise ahead of you and you saw it over there and then it disappeared and you couldn't see it because the pain was so overwhelming and it was so hard to walk through this path of pain. And then every now and then you'd look up and go, is it still there? But you kept walking. And because you kept walking, eventually that pain started to diminish and the promise started to grow. And you're sitting here right now going, yes, Justin, tell them because I will go through it over and over and over again because of the promise that I have found in my life. You're sitting here going, yes, that is exactly what I've experienced. I've walked through the pain of obedience to find the promise, and I'm so glad I did. Here's what I know is true. Life comes from obedience every single time. God loves us. He wants what's good for you. He wants you to have life. He loves you. That's who he is. And life will come from obedience every single time. Even when it feels like something dies inside of you, life will always come from obedience to him. Even when that feels like something's dying. And that's actually a principle of life, I think, that life is only made possible when something dies. Life is only made possible when something dies. Think about it. The reason you're still sitting here alive is because you ate something that died. The Chick-fil-A cows know what I'm talking about. Life is only made possible when something dies. Even if you're a vegan, it fell off the tree and died, and then you ate it. The fact is that some plant and some animal has died. That's why we're alive. Life is only made possible when something dies. Jesus taught this as well. In John 12, it says this, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Here's the crazy thing, and this is amazing to me, to know that if you pick up a seed, there is life in that seed. It's a miracle. I don't know how that works, but there's life in that seed. But the only way to access that life is if the seed dies. That if you drop it in the ground and you watch it get absolutely ruined, that you will never see it again. But life springs up from that death. The only way that life is sustained is through death. And I think that's true in every area of our life. In every area. Life is only made possible when something dies. Now, I want to show you how Jesus taught this, because he had a conversation with his disciples, and as they're talking about this, they talk about the promise and the life that he's bringing, and it's amazing, and they're excited about it, but then he shows exactly what we're saying, that life is only made possible through death. And we see Peter's reaction to this. It's so fascinating, because I think it's the reaction that we have every time we come against this and come up against this thing, but it's so fascinating. So I'd like to read this to you. In Matthew chapter 16, it says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" So he's going, okay, I want to know what people are saying. And as you'll see, the response shows that people are excited about Jesus. He's some holy person. He's bringing some promises of God. There's some life thing happening. It's pretty cool. So they answer this. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But then Jesus ups the ante and he says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered this and he said, "You are the Messiah." Now the Messiah was the one that the Jews knew that he would bring the promises of God into Israel. He would bring the life that they had always hoped for into Israel. So Peter was so excited that he was in there with Jesus, knowing that he was the one that was going to bring life and promise and hope and joy. And he was so excited about the promise of what could be. It's amazing. And so Jesus acknowledges that and he says, "Yes, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." And he expresses how that was something amazing and that's so true. And then Jesus does something that's so frustrating, I think, because he kind of takes a sharp left turn and explains that the only way that I will be able to be the Messiah, the only way that I will be able to bring the promise of life is through what we've been talking about, the pain of obedience. Look at what he says. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things in the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." There it is. The only way that Christ could give this gift that he gave this world was through death. But Peter responds in the same way I think we respond, because we don't like death. We like comfort. We don't like suffering. We like life. We like that. And so Peter says this. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord." That's what we say, right? Never. No, I don't want to walk through that. No, I don't want that pain. I don't want that suffering. I don't want that to die in me. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." And then Jesus so emphatically and pretty bluntly expresses the fact that that is not the way it works. Look at what he says to Peter. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Ouch. Then he goes on, "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind," here it is, this is so big, "the concerns of God, but merely the human concerns." What are we concerned about? Our comfort, our control, for things to stay the same, for things to be good, for us to feel the promise. Yes, we want the promise, but Jesus knew that the only way to the promise was on the path of the pain, because life is only made available through the death of something. And then again, it gets even worse, because Jesus has been showing himself as the example of that, but then he turns around and he makes it about us. He says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Must deny themselves. That's a death to something in me. "And take up their cross and follow me." And he continues, he says this, "For whoever wants to save their life," isn't that what we want to do? We want to save our lives. We want to keep it. We want to hold it safe there. We want to save our lives. But we will lose it. Isn't it true that at some point in the future, you're going to lose your life? You're going to die. Every one of us. It's just a fact of life. We're all going to die. We're going to. And if we hold on to it, eventually we're going to die. The house you're living in, eventually someone else is going to live in it. The car you're driving, eventually it's going to break down. The nice clothes you wear, eventually they're going to deteriorate. Everything we have is going to come to an end. It's going to. And Jesus says, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. You see, obeying Jesus brings purpose to death. We're going to die, but if we're able to go, okay, God, I will follow you in this and I will die to myself in this, I won't hold on to this, it brings purpose to death. And losing something through obedience brings meaning to that loss. When we obey him and decide to walk on the path of pain into the promise that he has for us, life comes. So I said to you earlier, at some point, God is going to ask you to do something painful. At some point, he's going to ask you to do something painful. The question is, am I willing to walk through the pain of obedience in order to experience the promise of obedience? And that's when, like I said, we find ourselves in the middle of the pain and the promise of that obedience. And that's tough. But it's exciting and it's important. Life comes when something dies. And God loves you so much. That's why he's calling you to the promise. And the promise of life and the promise of hope is so beautiful. The depth that comes in our own hearts and our own lives is so big when we choose to obey and walk through that pain. But let me warn you about something. And this is not fun to talk about, but it's real. And I want you to know about it because at some point in your life, when God taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, will you obey? The promise is so beautiful. It's there. It's wonderful. And I want you to have that, but you got to walk through this pain. The fact is that sometimes that pain is going to be massive and very painful. Sometimes it's going to be great. And God's going to ask you to pay for breakfast for somebody and it's $30 and that $30 is yours. So it's painful. You got to take it out and do it. But it's $30 and you can do that and walk away going, I did something good. And that's the promise. It's wonderful. But sometimes it's going to be much, much, much bigger than that. It's going to be painful. Think about Jesus. The pain of obedience that he walked through was death on a cross. Think about Paul the apostle. When Christ asked him to take the understanding that he had when he met with Jesus and the life change that he had, take that around the world. The pain of obedience for him was massive. I want to show you a letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. He expresses some of the pain that he felt, and this is crazy. Listen to this. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times, really? Come on, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles. What? In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. And it goes on. I have been labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. I don't know if he suffered enough. Really? And the reason I show you that is this. The promise of what Paul did, the promise of the influence that he had was incredible. We are different because of Paul's life that he lived nearly 2,000 years ago. Seriously? But the pain of his obedience was massive. And I say that to you just to warn you that sometimes when God asks you to do something and he shows you the promise of what could be, it's beautiful. But the path of the pain is going to be very painful. And I just want to warn you about that. Because when you hit that, that's when you're going to say this, is this worth it? That's when you're going to be tempted to be tripped up by the pain and lose sight of the promise. And that's when you're going to say, really, I don't think God wants this for anybody. Those are the words that we say in those times. And if you know that that pain is sometimes severe, but the promise is worth it, then at least we can walk and navigate through this time well. So let me get personal and ask you this question. Where is God asking you to obey? And some of you are sitting here right now and you know exactly where it is because your heart's been beating all this time. Where is God asking you to obey? And you've been saying, I don't want that pain. Is it in your marriage where you're struggling and you want out and he's going, I want you to obey and I want you to fight for this. And you're going, that's so painful. You don't understand what he's done. You don't understand what she's done. He's going, I know. Will you obey me anyway? Is it a relational thing where someone hurt you and you haven't forgiven them because of what they did, and what they did was terrible, but God's reaching in and going, will you obey me in this area of forgiveness? And I know it hurts, but the promise of a whole relationship is worth it. Is it a financial thing where God is asking you to be generous with your money and you're going, there's so much I can do with this. And he's going, I know, it's painful. But the promise of what happens in your heart and the promise of the influence you have and the promise of what could happen with your money is so big, it's worth the pain. Is it a job thing that God has asked you, I want you to quit that and I want you to start that, but then I'll lose all the security? I know. But if this is what I want it to be, the promise is incredible. Is it to move somewhere? Is it to go some? Is it to leave some dating relationship that you're in? You're going, what is it for you? Where is God asking you to obey him now? Because the promise of what God has for you in that area is so amazing. Here's my goal today, and it's a mean, horrible goal, and I'm sorry about that. But my goal today is this. I want to invite you into the pain of obedience so that you can experience the promise of obedience. That's my goal today. I want to invite you into pain. Sorry. So that you can experience the promise of obedience to God. But how do you know? How do you know if this is God that's asking you? How do you know where he's saying, I want you to obey? You feel like maybe it is. How do you know if it is what he's asking you to do? Well, firstly, let me say this. You usually just know, don't you? You usually kind of know. But once that feeling's there, or as you're thinking about this, there are some practical things that you can figure out. Is this God asking me to obey? Yeah. So the first thing is this. Look at Scripture. Take some time, read Scripture, because throughout Scripture, there's many places where God promises life and God promises all the stuff that he has for us. It's incredible. But there's also places where he says, I want you to do this. He reaches in and says, do this, obey me here. And when we do that and walk through the pain of obedience, we're able to find that promise of obedience. So look at Scripture. The second one is this. Listen to practical teaching. We're privileged in this church to hear practical teaching weekly where it's not just theory, but it's, hey, apply this to your life in this way. And when we do, we begin walking down the path of obedience. So listen to practical teaching. Next, ask wise, godly people. There's many people around here. And in small groups, find a mentor and go, hey, is this something that I need to do? And usually they look at you and go, yeah, I think so. Or no way, don't go that way. But there's wisdom in finding that. And then lastly, pay attention to the tension in your heart. Because God taps us on our hearts, God taps us on our shoulders and says, hey, this is what I want for you. This is what I want for you. So where is it in your life that that's happening? And this is how we can figure it out. Here's the thing that I know. This is what I know. The pain of obedience always leads to the promise of obedience. The pain of obedience always leads to the promise of obedience. One more thing, and then I'm going to end, and that is this. In obeying God, when God asks us to do something in a specific area or in a general area about a dream, about a future, about moving, whatever it is, in those areas, you don't know what hangs in the balance of your obedience to God. You don't know. If you could look 10 years ahead and see where you would be if you did that, my guess is there's no way you would even question whether you want to walk through the pain of disobedience, because what hangs in the balance is so big. Think about Jesus. What hung in the balance of him walking through the pain of obedience? What if he got tripped up by the pain and lost sight of the promise? We wouldn't be here. What about Paul? If he got tripped by all that pain that he experienced and lost sight of the promise, we wouldn't have 2/3 of the New Testament. We wouldn't know all the incredible insights about who Jesus is. So much hung in the balance. Think about the people that started the churches we attend, that were the founding core of that, that gave so much money, that were there early in the morning serving, the people at Watermark when they knew that there was a need in their community. And you just gave and you gave and you gave. What hung in the balance? Here's what hung in the balance for all of us at all of our churches and all those people who gave so much. What hung in the balance was this. And maybe for you, your very faith hung in the balance when those people decided to walk through the pain of obedience so that you and I can experience the promise of that obedience. What about you? What hangs in the balance for you in walking through the pain of obedience so that you can experience that promise? Now listen, imagine you did that. Imagine every time God tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, I need you to obey me here. Imagine what your life would look like. Imagine what your relationship with God would be. Imagine what your marriage would be. Imagine what your relationship with others would be. Imagine the influence you would have. And imagine if every single one of us could do that and walk through that and choose that no matter how painful this is, I am going to obey so that I can experience the promise of what God has for me and for us. Imagine what the city would be like. Imagine what our communities would look like. It's incredible. So here's the thing. My goal today, like I said, is simply this. I want to invite you into the pain of obedience so that you can experience the promise that comes with that obedience every single time. Would you consider walking through that pain to find that promise? Let me pray for us. Father, we're amazed that you love us so much. We're amazed that you're a good God that is there for us, and you have so many promises for us, so much promise of life. But God, we get tripped up so often by the pain that we sometimes have to walk through to deny ourselves, to die to something in ourselves in order to walk in that life. God, thank you that your grace is there for us always. But I pray, God, that you will help us walk in the pain of obedience so that we can find the promise of obedience. Help us do that. For the person who's sitting here struggling, going, I don't want to do that, but I know I should. Give them the strength to do it. And Father, I pray that they will find that life that you have for them. Thank you, Jesus, that you did this for us. We're incredibly grateful. In your name, amen. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next week.